And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Ahoy there, ye scallywags and Buccaneers fans alike. Welcome aboard the grand vessel of football fandom, where the sails are hoisted high and the cannons of gridiron glory are forever ready to fire. You found yourselves amidst the rollicking waves of the RBLR Bucks podcast, where we pillage through the seas of NFL talk, plundering every insight and treasure about the mighty Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And in case that was a little too complex for you, welcome to RBLR Buccaneers. I'm Musab, one of your co-hosts, all right? And I'll be steering this ship through the choppy waters of the off-season uncertainty. And me hearties, fear not, the doldrums that come with the end of the Super Bowl season have come already. I know it sucks, but for here at RBLR, we know no off-season, all right? We be forever on the hunt for tales of triumph and conquest, be it on the turf or on the high seas of football punditry. But what is a ship without its trusty crewmates? And I got one of my crewmates here to my left. He is joining me in this swashbuckling adventure. Be none other than me esteemed co-host and fellow Buccaneer enthusiast, the one and only Carter Brantley. Arr, me hearty. What do you say to the offseason? Any plans to keep the spirit of the Buccaneers alive on them lazy Sundays, Carter?
Oh, yeah, man. We're, you know, I'm going to be staring at my creamsicle Derek Brooks. I don't know if it's fake or not, but I got it from the sketchy website for like $30. So I guess it could be, you know, off brand or whatever. But I'll be staring at it fondly, thinking about when the Bucks will be, you know, playing football again. You know, the offseason's never super fun. But, man, you got the offseason started off with a bang. You got the shave going on, huh? Clean shave.
Yeah, I messed up. Why? I always mess up sometimes when I shave my beard, and then I'm like, you know what? Let me just shave it. It grows so quickly. So
for sure.
I've just also just tried to avoid going to the barber shops ever since COVID. They've jacked up the prices. So, yeah, there's that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Hey, man, I don't blame you. If you can do it yourself, why not? I just thought, you know,
if you can't do it yourself, then you just shave it all off like me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, shoot, we saw the Super Bowl and I got kind of sad about it too. So I figured maybe that was the reason why you decided to shave your beard watching Patrick Mahomes hoist another Lombardi trophy. It's not good for anyone's mental health, but, in case you were living under a rock, you know, Kansas City took home the Super Bowl again. Patrick Mahomes adds a third Super Bowl ring to his collection. It's a back-to-back for Kansas City. So, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about Mahomes versus Brady, you know, the GOAT and all that stuff. And, you know, Brady played for the Bucs. So how many rings do you think Mahomes has to get, or does it even matter before he surpasses Brady in the GOAT conversation in your mind, Musab?
It's going to be a while since we can actually start kind of debating if he has surpassed Tom Brady or not. I mean, he still has a lot more to do for sure, but I could definitely see people saying that he surpassed Brady without the rings as well, just performance wise. I mean, by all means, I mean, having rings is huge, but if Mahomes has a phenomenal career, ends up with maybe 4 or 5 and his stats are just off the charts, then I can see people getting away with saying, yeah, he surpassed Brady. But, I mean, yeah, he's going to have to do a lot, though. I mean, he's young. I mean, how many years has he been in the league now, Carter?
Yeah, I think maybe 6 as a starter.
6, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he's got plenty of time. But, I mean, I didn't want the Chiefs to win. You know, I didn't want to see Mahomes succeed. But I got to give credit where it's due.
Yeah, he played a hell of a game. He pulled out some stuff out of his butt, so to speak, where I was like, wow, that was pretty darn impressive. Just escaping the pocket, that kind of thing. That's something that Tom Brady certainly didn't do. But yeah, I don't know. It's tough to make those comparisons at this point, just because, like you mentioned, Brady has the longevity. He's got all the every single career milestone. Brady has it for quarterbacks. So it's gonna be tough for him to catch up to him, because you know, Brady played until he was 45. He played 2 decades in the league. It's going to be tough to beat him in as far as counting stats. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, he's definitely proven to be, you know, definitely he's up there. If he's not in the top five, he's pretty darn close. So it'll be really interesting to see how his career progresses and to see how far up he can move that list, because he's already pretty up there. But, you know, we'll just have to see how it plays out. But obviously the game went into overtime, and there was kind of a lot of discussion about San Francisco, from the San Francisco side of things, their decision to keep the football because they won the coin toss and then they elected to receive as opposed to defer. And obviously the new overtime rules are that both teams get the ball no matter what. San Francisco could have gone down there, scored a touchdown, and if Kansas City scores a touchdown and ties it up, then San Francisco gets the ball back. But I don't know. I thought it was a really interesting decision. I could have gone either way. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it before I get into it.
To be honest, I didn't think too much of it. I kind of want to see where your head's at with it. You know, what kind of difference do you think would have made if had they deferred it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough thing because there's such a limited sample size. We just don't know. Like you said, there's not really a lot of thoughts you can have it because this is a new phenomena and it only happens in the playoffs. So it's only been a few years now of this rule in place. And I don't know, it's just a lot of the thinking was that they should have deferred because then if Kansas City goes down and scores a touchdown, kicks the extra point, then San Francisco can go down, score a touchdown, and then go for two to try to win the game as opposed to depending on their defense, which up to that point, you know, in that late game situation, Mahomes was just dealing. So it would have been tough to count on your defense to stop them, so to speak. But they also claimed that they were hoping to get the ball third. I don't know how much I buy that. It seemed like they were just confused about the rules, which was just a really bad sign. Like Kyle Juszczyk and Arik Armstead were all kind of chirping at the press conferences talking about, well, we didn't really know what the rules were. And Kansas City, on the other hand, was like, yeah, we had like meetings about this for several weeks. Like, hey, this is what happens in the playoffs with the new overtime rules. These are the situations. So yeah, I don't know. I'd love to do a deeper dive and see like the 2-point conversions of each team. And yeah, I don't know. So that was kind of my thoughts on it. I just didn't know really what to make of it. Yeah, I don't know. Moving forward, do you think maybe this is going to be a big kind of discussion point amongst teams, like the overtime rules in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, moving forward, the way what you're saying, I didn't see that kind of press conference and, you know, what those Niners players saying that, oh, we weren't aware about the OT rules. But I think, I mean, if any NFL player didn't know about it before, they definitely do now.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, moving forward, I think it's going to be a big thing. I mean, people are going to have to think about that for sure. I feel like it's definitely something you should be aware about. And I'm really glad you brought up that kind of 2-point conversion thing that the Niners could have done had they deferred it. Because, yeah, I didn't think about that at first as well. But then again, it makes me think that, I mean, what if they didn't get the 2-point conversion? Now they end up losing. So, yeah, it's a lot of just things. That's what just makes overtime so juicy.
For sure.
The football. So, yeah, that's just where I stand.
Yeah, I'd much rather be having these conversations than the conversations we were having before, which was like, oh, you know, Kansas City, Buffalo, Kansas City got the ball first. So Kansas City won. Like, oh, God, that's no fun, you know? So it was basically decided by a coin toss previously. And now there's some strategy to it. Now there's some nuance. Like, you know, we can sit here and yammer on as much as we want about, you know, the pros and cons of deferring, receiving, what have you. But at least this is the conversation we're having as opposed to just saying, well, tails never fails or should you choose heads? You know what I mean? Like it's literally a 50-50 shot. So yeah, it's definitely more exciting to have these conversations, but like you said, it's tough to defer, but at the same time, you know, yeah, I don't know. I'd love to see things play out and see more, you know, more situations like these happen so that we can get a little bit more data about, you know, who's successful and whatnot, just because, you know, like I said, we just don't really have a lot of game data to draw off of because this is such a new phenomenon. But yeah, I thought it was worth conversating about. But the next thing I wanted to talk about was kind of shifting back to Kansas City. How are you feeling about their chances next year to repeat, you know, go three-peat, three in a row? Assuming, of course, that Andy Reid returns, what are your thoughts on Kansas City going three in a row?
I think chances are there, but I don't know if chances are high. Three-peating is – that's crazy. I don't
know.
Ed, has anyone three-peated?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the Patriots three-peated. I think the Steelers three-peated maybe at one point. Definitely the Patriots. Brady and the Patriots, I think, three-peated. So it's intense, oh, wow. But – I mean, it's almost impossible. It's very rarely happening, but I don't know. It's not impossible with Kansas City just because they have Mahomes. But yeah, it's tough, especially in that AFC. If they were in the NFC, I think I'd give them a lot more lenience. But man, they got Lamar, they got Josh Allen, Joe Burrow's going to be hopefully healthy next year. They've got a really tough conference to get through. So I'm kind of with you. I'm not putting my money on it, but I'm going to be interested to see how it moves forward. I don't know. Three-peats are really cool, and if he managed to three-peat, I think he might be inching closer and closer towards that. Oh my goodness, my bad. I just looked it up. There's never been a three-peat in the NFL. What am I yammering about? My goodness, you were right, Musa. That's what I get for doubting.
I was like, maybe back in the 50s when there was five teams in the league or something, you know.
Right. But that's what I get for doubting Musab. You know, Musab's got the wisdom.
No. I was just thinking, I was like, dang. But
right. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely hard to do in the expansion era of football for sure. But you know, maybe he'll be the first. If there's anyone that's gonna do it, it'll be him.
I also feel like everyone's after the Chiefs now. Everyone's after
for
Mahomes.
Sure.
I feel like every team that faces the Chiefs, especially in the playoffs, is gonna do whatever it takes. Or when the time comes that, okay, everyone knows who's in the playoffs, who's not, who's playing the Chiefs, or who could play the Chiefs if they move to the next round, I think there's going to be a lot more kind of strategies with that as well.
It'll definitely be interesting to see how teams – I mean, it's just tough because, you know, Mahomes has been around the league for a while, so you feel like if teams knew how to stop him or if they could figure out a formula to contain him in Kansas City, they might have done it by now. But at the same time, you know, he's a year older. Andy Reid's a year older. Who knows how Travis Kelce's going to bounce back from this year or if he's even going to stay active. There's been talks of him retiring. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they move forward. And, a lot to think about in the offseason for them is for sure. But a little bit more of a fun subject instead of talking about the prospect of Kansas City going three-peat. The Usher halftime show, he brought out Ludacris. He brought out Lil Jon. What were your thoughts on the Usher halftime show, Musa?
I thought it was decent. It was all right. I was kind of just was cooking up some brownies, watching In-N-Out or whatever. I thought it was cool. I don't know. I've never been really big on halftime shows ever.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. I'll tell you this though, actually. One I'll never forget though was a Shakira J-Lo one. Yeah. I don't know why. I just vividly remember exactly where I was sitting, what I was drinking, mm-hmm. who I was with. And then I remember there was like, I had like some like health communication or some communication class in college. And the day afterwards, it was a whole lesson on people's views about what Shakira and J-Lo wore. Anyways, I don't want to go off on a soapbox, whatever. But no, I thought it was good. I thought it was decent. I didn't care too much about it. I didn't hate it either, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It brought back some memories, especially with,
Right. Oh, for sure. I mean, that's a throwback. That's a classic. I did lose I lost the over under that I had. It was like a little family, you know, the squares things or whatever. We had an over under on wardrobe changes for Usher and I took the under. And I'm pretty sure he had over 3 wardrobe changes throughout the concert. So I lost that bet, I think. Although I wasn't really good at keeping track, but I was super hyped to see Ludacris. I'm a big Ludacris fan, even if it was for just a little cameo. I wish they would have included him more. But it was cool to see Luda and Lil Jon and you know, it brought back some memories, like you said. The Shakira and J-Lo performance, really cool. I got to say, I was a huge fan of the Kendrick, the Snoop Dogg and the Dr. Dre performance.
Oh, that was good.
Ago.
Yeah,
the West Coast for sure. That was definitely a classic in the making. Prince, obviously, probably the best Super Bowl performance ever. Purple Rain while it's raining. I mean, that's hard to beat. I thought I'd get your thoughts on the Usher halftime show because some say that the Usher halftime show was sort of the J-Lo and Shakira halftime show, but for women, because you know Usher was taking his shirt off and everything, and you know it was kind of a fun little show for a lot of people in different ways. But Yeah, a lot of fun times during that halftime show. A lot of interesting stuff going on for Usher for sure. But if you were a fan of the halftime show and Usher's wardrobe changes, one of the wardrobe changes I wish he would have made was into some RBLR gear. I think that would have really put it all together. If he whipped out the Bring Back the Devil or the Champa Bay shirt, I think he definitely would have looked really, really good in either of those outfits. Shop.rblrsports.com is where he or anyone else can find that gear. We'll give you a promo code Canon, CANNONS, for 10% off your entire order. Definitely check that out. If you're feeling down about Kansas City taking home the Super Bowl and you're just sitting around thinking about how the offseason is going on, and maybe you can pick yourself up by getting yourself some RBLR gear. That'd definitely be dope. But now we're shifting our focus to some more Bucks related news, because the Super Bowl was all fun and good, but the Bucks weren't involved, so really who cares, right? But Ryan Jensen unfortunately is retired. He hung up his cleats. He's done. It was kind of a move that wasn't entirely unexpected. After his injury this past year and just, or really over the past 2 years, the injury concerns were just too much. And, we wish him all the best, obviously, in retirement. He was really one of the best centers in football for his time in the Bucs uniform. Really one of the best centers the Bucs have ever had. I'd argue without him, I know this is kind of a dramatic thing to say, but I don't know if the Bucs get Tom Brady without Ryan Jensen, because he was a big part of that offensive line. Obviously, Tom had a great relationship with him. They had a really good trust and communication, which is really important. I thought that his retiring was kind of tough, but it was well deserved. And obviously, hope he can get back to feeling healthy and stuff, because man, his injuries sounded rough. What were your thoughts on Ryan Jensen's career as a Buck?
Oh, I mean, first of all, thank you, Ryan Jensen, for protecting Brady and helping.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, this being a center is a crucial position. And overall, he had a phenomenal career. And I think people also remember his kind of little scuffle with Kiki Alonso after that dirty hit on Joe Flacco when he was in the Ravens. But I have to say, I think the biggest thing that, Ryan Jensen brought to the table was kind of the off the field stuff as well, or just his kind of his grit, his kind of, bulldog attitude, his kind of, what's that kind of big brother attitude, I guess. Is that what I mean? As you said already, Carter, this wasn't surprising. I know we discussed this actually earlier last season with the whole kind of stem cell therapy. Maybe we're thinking, oh, he should have just done surgery or something, but it is what it is. Obviously it sucks, but, I have to say, though, I hope he stays with it, with the Bucks in some capacity. Who was that one guy that used to play for the Buccaneers and then he just turned into a coach the next season?
Oh man.
He was a lineman, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he retired and Bruce Arians hired him immediately.
Yeah.
He was like a Cornell or he was an Ivy League guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see Ryan Jensen stay on in some kind of advisory or coach role. That'd be really cool. I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, he's beloved by a lot of I've never heard anyone other than Cam Jordan on NFL Network, but who cares what he has to say other than him spewing his nonsense about, oh, who's Ryan Jensen? I've never heard anyone say really a bad word about Ryan Jensen. He can get under opponent's skins. That was kind of his thing. You mentioned the Joe Flacco thing. He was definitely, like you said, a bulldog. He worked hard out there and kind of got a little chippy, but hey, that was his thing. He was kind of an enforcer. And I think everyone he played with loved that about him. He definitely had your back as a teammate. Wish him all the best, and it's going to be tough not seeing him in a Bucks uniform moving forward, but, hey, no one deserves retirement more than him. He worked his butt off.
If I may just chime in, actually, I just found out recently, I think it was actually like a Forbes article. It actually looks like Ryan Jensen is keeping himself busy. And, when you were saying working, yeah, he's working a little bit himself. I believe he's got himself in the real estate business with another guy that he knew. I believe he also played football. Last name is Gilkey, was the guy that he's partnering up with. So,
very cool.
Yeah, he will be doing something during this offseason, I guess, to keep him busy, maybe make a little bit more money. So,
that's right. Yeah. Make that money. Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, shoot, players always got to prepare because, you know, no one can play forever. Not even Tom Brady, as we saw. So yeah, it's good to see that he's kind of prepared for his life after football. That's definitely a big thing for a lot of players, because a lot of guys struggle with it. You know, it's not an easy thing to transition from devoting pretty much your entire livelihood and your entire life and focus to one thing, just being so focused on that one goal, and just not having it anymore. You know, obviously the money's nice and being able to hopefully fall back on that salary is good, but still you got to occupy yourself. Otherwise you'll drive yourself crazy. And it's good to see him doing that. Absolutely. That's great to hear. But shifting our focus to more current Bucks content, more current Bucks related. They got to unfortunately fill that hole. You know, they had Robert Hainsey as their starting center last season. They kind of went through some changes at left guard. Hainsey has been kind of a swingman. He's shown an ability to play across the line, really, and in the interior at least. So how are you feeling about it? Do you think that the Bucks run with Hainsey at center, or do you think maybe they try to address that position in the draft?
I think they addressed the position in the draft. I think he's been average to below average this year. To me, I think he's a kind of a good like utility backup kind of guy, you
Absolutely.
know, offensive lineman, someone who can play center if needed be. But I don't think he's a great starter, and I do have to say that he's been around long enough that it's time for him to either, you know, step up or if needed be, we'll just have to move on. But looking at a depth chart right now, he's the only center that's listed. So, I mean, this is definitely something we're gonna have to be thinking about during this offseason for sure, and definitely in the draft. I think this is definitely a big hole to fill for sure, especially because we've been discussing this. I mean, everyone's been thinking about this, but I mean, yeah, Baker's gonna run back again with us. We're gonna need some more protection and better protection, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the good news is that, you know, they do have Hainsey. So even if they maybe draft a project type of guy in the later rounds, or maybe they go left guard, you know, in the draft or what have you, then they can kind of fall back on, hey, you know, Hainsey might not be, he's not Ryan Jensen, but he can at least, you know, do it. A below average is at least sort of acceptable, you know. He's not going to blow the world away with his performance, but yeah, I'm really interested to see how they move forward in this offseason, whether it be through the draft or free agency, because they definitely have to address the interior offensive line, regardless of whether it's a replacement for Hainsey or if it's a replacement for left guard Aaron Steine, who is the starter near the end of the year. So yeah, I don't know. Speaking of Steine, I mean, you mentioned that we've been talking about the center position primarily, but how do you feel about that left guard position? Would you maybe them folk rather them focus on the left guard position and keep kind of just keep Hainsey, or maybe you think they need to address both?
I would say address both, but if I had to kind of, you know, pick one first, I would probably say let's start out with center. I am kind of I'm okay with the way our left guard situation stands at the moment. I do think that we can definitely make some off-season moves for sure, whether that be during the free agency or the NFL draft. But I think that first of all, I think we need to focus on the center, just because I think that the fact that Stinney was able to be a backup and then step up, he's a starter now. I feel like he's kind of earned that. And now I feel like we just need to bring in some competition for him. But on the other hand, for me, the way I see it, I think that there are people out there who are better than Hainsey, who obviously will bring competition, but I think that it's their battle to lose.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be interesting because there have been a lot of discussions about moving Hainsey to the left guard position to allow some of that responsibility to be taken off his shoulders and kind of put onto someone else. And maybe that'll be a big step up for him. You know, we saw Luke Gadecki shift from left guard to right tackle, and he had a really successful season this past year. He took a really big step forward, especially compared to where he was his rookie year. It was a huge, huge boon for this Bucks offensive line. So, you know, maybe he needs a change of scenery. You know, that's kind of a big thing with a lot of players, you know, just trying to make sure that they're comfortable. But obviously, you know, change is sometimes good. So, yeah, I think it'll be really intriguing to see how they address this interior offensive line in the offseason. But speaking of the offseason, there's obviously priorities. You know, the Bucks have kind of a list of priorities, and I don't know that interior offensive line is super low on the list, but I don't know that it's number one. What do you think the first thing the Bucks need to do this offseason is?
Now, if it's kind of just regarding decisions, we need to kind of decide where, you know, Baker and Mike Evans' future lies. Now, if it's, this is something more along the lines of, okay, who do we need to get, or, you know, what kind of position do we need to focus on? Ooh, this one's good. I'll probably actually go with, I just think we need some more kind of offensive weapons as well.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think we lean towards the offensive weapons. I mean, I really think there's a lot of things to focus on, but if I had to choose, if there's one thing I would probably just kind of lean a little bit more towards is kind of focusing on getting those offensive weapons, just because who knows where Mike Evans, you know, goes, if he stays with us, who knows what happens with the rest of our guys. I mean, it's really just Evans and Godwin running the show. Now, if Evans is gone, then what happens? It's just kind of Godwin, then who else? Trey Palmer, Raheem Jarrett, David Moore. So kind of thinking about that as well. And then even thinking about, okay, well, along the lines, even with our running back, yeah, we got Rashad White, but that's about it. I mean, maybe we can get an upgrade from Chase Edmonds, and maybe this is the year for maybe Sean Tucker to step up. I don't know, but I will say that offensive weapons is something that we need to think about during this offseason, along the lines of also where Baker and Mike Evans' future stands.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think Baker and Mike are the two first things that the Bucs have to take care of right off the bat. In fact, I think there's a deadline for Monday, I believe, that if they're able to re-sign Mike Evans before that deadline, then they can save, I think, around $7.5 million in cap space for this season. But if they're not able to, then that dead cap kind of counts towards 2024's cap. But either way, they have to pay it eventually. Like, they can just push it back a year, or they'll just pay the Piper this season. But I don't know. It's kind of been tough. Because Evans and the Bucks had these discussions in the offseason last year, and Evans set that deadline, and he was like, hey, man, if we can't get a deal done by this date, then no more negotiations until the offseason, because I'm not trying to deal with this. And rightfully so, you know, you don't want your focus in a bunch of different places. And he had another great year, so it's going to be tough to see if the Bucks can retain him, but that's a big decision, because if they can't, then it's just Chris Godwin, like you said, and Godwin, Trey Palmer. They're both very quality players. I think Palmer has a really high ceiling, but my goodness, that's not enough. You know, that's a big sign that the Bucks, like you said, need to address the skill position players. But I do think that the Evans and the Bucks managed to work things out. If I, you know, gunned ahead, if I had to make a prediction, that would be mine. But, you know, we'll see how things play out. So speaking of the pending free agents, what's kind of your priority list for them? Because the Bucs have a lot. You know, they've got Antoine Winfield Jr. We haven't even talked about Mike Evans, Baker Mayfield. So who's kind of the number one free agent that you want the Bucs to bring back this offseason?
Antoine Winfield Jr. Really? I mean, yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, I was thinking with kind of DB situation is definitely something we got to focus on. But I think we should – first of all, focus on getting Winfield back. And then from there, we can definitely think about, okay, how can we get the best DBs on our team, whether that means draft or during the free agency. But the impact that Winfield's had on our team, I mean, he's literally saved us this past season, you know, many times, especially against that one time against the Panthers, our last game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, the thing is also, I remember, Carter, you had mentioned this, I think maybe like last episode of the one – before that, which was, you know, you also want to keep these guys, you know, these are the guys you drafted, and, you know, you want to keep a lot of them as well, because, you know, you don't want them succeeding somewhere else, because you're like, oh, wow, that's my guy, you know,
right?
I look at him, you know, shining somewhere else. So, yeah, sure. I mean, we already kept a lot of people as well, but I mean, he's a veteran now, he's experienced, he's a leader, phenomenal player. He is basically like the DB version of our Levante David. You know,
yeah. I mean, I think Evan Klosky and I kind of riffed on that aspect of things, you know, the concept of keeping your own players, you know, keeping your own guys. And he mentioned that Jason Light's a guy that loves to do that. And rightfully so, you know, when you hit on a draft pick, you don't want to just let them walk. You know, you want to kind of reap the rewards of your efforts, because you put a lot of work in to find that player and to draft that player. So, you know, I'm definitely with you. I think that's going to be number one, because as important as Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans are, without Antoine Winfield Jr., they don't have safeties. Like, not even like necessarily like they don't have good ones. They just don't have any. Like, they don't really have any that are going to be rostered next year. So if they let Winfield walk, which I have no doubt in my mind that they won't, yeah, they've got to address the safety position once, twice, maybe three times in the draft, which is not an ideal situation to be in. You don't want to be, you know, depending on two rookie starters at the safety position. You'd like to have at least one of them be a little experienced. So, yeah, I think Winfield's definitely a low-key number one priority, because as much as Baker and Mike Evans contribute to the offensive success, the defense, oh, man, the defense looked – a little rough against Detroit, and they looked a little rough at a lot of times during the season. So I think it's definitely a group that, you know, needs quite a bit of attention in regards to personnel. So I'll, you know, we'll just have to see if they're able to franchise tag Winfield Jr. or if they're able to sign him to a bigger extension. Either way, got to hope that Winfield Jr. is in a Bucs uniform next year. So speaking of the offseason, you know, it's getting ramped up, and before everything, you know, starts really getting juiced, I'd love to hear some bold predictions from you in regards to both maybe the NFL and maybe the Bucs specifically, because I know Musab's always coming with those hot takes. So what's your bold takes on the off season?
You know, regarding the NFL, I thought about this one. I don't know how I thought about this one, but I wanted to make it a little juicy and not something related to, oh, this guy signed on this team, or, you know, XYZ drafted,
right,
this many players are traded. Want to juice it up a little bit. You want to bold? I think something juicy is going to happen during this offseason with the NFL regarding referees, gambling, owners, and maybe players. There's going to be something. You know, I don't want to just, you know, pick on just specific people or just only, it's only going to be owners or only just refs. But there's going to be some kind of collusion scandal.
Okay.
You know, so something just to keep us busy, I guess, during the offseason. It could be just the whole kind of just bullcrap story or just whatever. But that's my NFL one. My Buccaneers one is, I think Yaya Diaby racks in more than 13 sacks. But that's actually, you know what? I had thought about that. No, sorry. I take that back. That's not for the offseason. That's for next season.
Yeah, that's
what I actually had this. I had this listed, and then I deleted it right before our show. I realized it's not off season. I had it actually right here. Okay, it's the Buccaneers draft a quarterback like in the late round or like undrafted free agent. I think it's time we move on from Kyle Trask. Wherever John Wolford stands on the Buccaneers, it's fine. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he does turn out to be the backup or whatever. But I think. And this is not, I mean, this is like a last resort. I think this is like the last round in the pick, or maybe just because Jason Light and the boys in the office are bored. They're probably just like, you know what? I think it's time we just, let's just grab a quarterback just because. Let's just see if he's better than Kyle, you know? So I think something like that happens.
All right. Hey, I dig it, but I also dig the Yaya stat. I think he's second year, even if that is a regular season factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm really enjoying the gambling thing. My goodness, because that's been a huge thing in a lot of like baseball podcasts that I listen to. Is they think that there's going to be some kind of big collusion between a sports reporter and a gambling website, where like a sports reporter witnesses an injury at a practice and then they don't report it, and then they place a bet and then they report it after they place their bet, so that they can.
Especially with all these. With all these sports books now, is like becoming legal all across the U.S. DraftKings, FanDuel, and then we got Hard Rock Sports Bet. Like,
now.
There's so many now sports books. I mean, it's gotten bigger and bigger. You'll see commercials now on TV. With, I think I saw a Kurt Warner commercial, like gamble responsibly a couple weeks ago.
So,
it's getting big now more than ever. So I wouldn't be surprised if some referee's cousin from Oklahoma. talking to, you know, some NFL player's cousin because they both go to the same high school, and then
decide
to collude, and I don't know. Well, just something.
I don't know. It's become so normalized that it's bound to happen eventually.
Yeah,
it was happening before, and it was before gambling was technically legal. You know, the NBA had their own little thing, so. You know, MLB, obviously, the eight men out, you know, the whites or the Black Sox scandal in the early 1900s. So it's bound to happen to the NFL eventually. I'm surprised it hasn't yet. Obviously, like, there's been suspensions handed out with players gambling on other things. And there's the Kayshon Boutte guy from LSU, the wide receiver who was gambling on himself at LSU under the username like Kayshon Boutte at one or something crazy, like just something like, dude, what are you thinking? But yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised at all. But my bold take for the NFL offseason, although I like yours a lot better, Musa, before I say mine, yours is going to be really fun, and I think yours is going to come true. Mine is that someone offers 3 first-round picks for the Bears for their number one pick, and they say no, and they still take Caleb Williams. I don't know. It seems like the Bears are just infatuated with Williams, for better or for worse. You know, you can have your opinion on him. You can be high on him. You can be low on him. If a team offers you 3 first-round picks for a pick, you take it. Like, I don't know. There's been so many examples of that turning out so horribly for teams throughout the years. And also, you give yourself 3 first. I don't know. So I hope that doesn't happen for the Bears' sake, because if they get that offer, they have to hit the accept button on Madden so quickly, you know, hit X or A, whatever system you're playing on, just accept it. So I hope it doesn't happen, but I just have a bad feeling that that report is going to leak and then everyone's going to be like, wow, the Bears are stupid. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. My Bucks take is that I think they're going to lock up Evans. So I think that this is kind of a predecessor, so to speak. You know, there's a conditional aspect to it, but I think they lock up Evans and Baker Mayfield, and I think they don't take a skill position player until day 3. Like, I think they're going to spend maybe some late round picks on a running back, maybe a wide receiver, maybe a quarterback, like you mentioned. But I think the first 3 or 4 rounds of the draft, they've really got to focus on hammering down the secondary as well as their pass rush, because my goodness, against the Lions, Jared Goff was just sitting there, you know, reading a book, you know, making a DoorDash order to his house after the game, and then he was throwing the ball. Like, he just had all day to throw it. I think they move on from Shaq Barrett, and I think they just really want to hammer down that aspect of their team, because it's ugly right now. They are getting no pass pressure at all. So, yeah, that's kind of my bold take for the Bucks. They're not going to draft a skill position player until day 3.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. I mean, especially in the case, we keep Evans and Baker, then, yeah, I can definitely see that happening for sure. And even with that NFL one, I'll tell you this, someone's going to make a stupid decision on draft day. Sure. I don't know if it's the Bears, the Lions, the Cardinals, or the Buccaneers. I don't know. Right. But something stupid's going to happen, and we're all going to find out. Yeah,
something always does. Yeah, something stupid always does every year with the draft. It seems like at least one or two teams just make some real – head-scratching moves, and I think, unfortunately, the Bears are going to make theirs this season. But hopefully not, because I want to see Justin Fields succeed. I think Justin Fields has it. Like, I think the Bears have just been pretty bad the past few years, not necessarily because of Justin Fields, but that's, you know, that's just me hemming and hawing about Justin Fields. I don't know. That's not me saying for the Bucs one. That's not me saying that the Bucs don't take a skill position at all. Like, I think it's definitely running back is definitely a huge need in the draft. But I just think that, you know, when you look at the 49ers in Kansas City, they've invested so little in the running back position, and they've had a large amount of success despite that. You know, the 49ers neither team has spent a first round pick on an impactful running back. Like, Kansas City drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but oh God, he didn't do anything. He had one rush for no yards in the Super Bowl. So anyways, that's my bold takes for this offseason. But we're nearing the end of our episode. We really appreciate y'all tuning in and listening. You know, definitely hit that like and subscribe button if you like what you heard, because next week we're going to have a really cool guest. I'm not going to spoil the surprise. We'll let y'all see when we release the episode, but we're pretty excited about it. And, you know, definitely stay tuned in. Also give us a follow at RBLR Sports on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. I know the Rays show is going to come out soon. They've got a really cool Jeopardy segment. Definitely tune in for that as well. The Bolts, the Lightning are in full swing their season. They're always releasing episodes, so definitely check them out there. And, you know, more Buck stuff. So we'd really appreciate y'all if you did that. But until next time, and as always,
go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.